All right, good to see you here tonight. Such a blessing to have Joshua's PCA with us this evening, Mike. Had to meet him before the service started, and we're happy to have him here this evening. So greet him afterwards. Also, I have a prayer request that Jeanette gave me. Pray for her father, Paul Langendorfer. He's had complications and has been in the hospital this past week, for the past week. So let's pray for him and remember him in prayer. And also pray for the family in the Baptist church there in Mankato, where they lost a 10-year-old son to brain cancer just this past week. So let's remember them in prayer at this time before we get into the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We have the privilege to come to you tonight. I'm in your presence to worship you, to learn more from your word and on how you have planned to bless us. And I pray, Lord, that we would look at that plan and praise you for it. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to pray for these individuals that have been given as a prayer request. We think of the family, especially at Grace Baptist there in Mankato. They've lost a 10-year-old son. We pray, Father, for your comfort and grace to be very evident in their life. We pray for Paul Langendorfer as well. We pray, Father, for recovery for him and that he would have a great sense of your presence and your provision and blessing upon his life. I pray for his caregivers, the doctors that are attending to him, and for the family as well. And we just pray, Father, for his good recovery at this time. Bless these moments together as we look into your word this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to Psalm 1, the Hebrew hymn book, as it's often been called. And really, Psalm 1 really gives to us a very simple outline of the tenor and the theme of the whole book of Psalms. Blessing upon the man or the woman who delights in the Word of God. And for the opposite end of that, the contrast, the ungodly are going to be judged by the Lord. I'm going to read the entire Psalm, but we're going to focus on verses 1, 2, and 3 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How we view the Lord determines how we are going to live. How I see God is how I serve God. And our adversary, the devil, Satan, constantly seeks to deceive us and distort our view of God. He lies to us because he is the father of lies. He lies to us about God, and then he lies to God about us. And there are two keys to living the Christian life that we see here in the text. And the first one is faith in God, believing in his word, and obedience to him. And that's my duty as a child of God, to continue to trust him with my life and to obey him as well. But that duty turns to devotion and delight when I begin to understand really the heart of God. My willing submission to the Lord's leading in my life results in heartfelt holiness and happiness. And so that's what we want to look at this evening as we look at verses 1, 2, and 3. and talk about seeing God's prescription for blessing upon our life. And that very first word, blessed, could be expanded in interpreting, saying blessed or happy many times over is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands or doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And the other part of that is his delight in the law of the Lord. And so my willing submission in Jesus Christ submits and results in heartfelt joy and happiness. Who doesn't want to be blessed by God? Well, there are a lot of people that live their life apart from God, and they'll never see his blessing in their life. The first step to God's way of blessing is salvation. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's the message of the entire Bible, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. There's no formula for blessing that does not begin with salvation. And Psalm 1 assumes that that salvation has taken place. So what then is God's prescription for blessing? Well, I think there are three indispensable ingredients here in this prescription for God's blessing upon your life. And notice, first of all, the dangers to God's blessing. We find it there in verse 1. And it's given to us in a negative fashion. And all of us have had this experience. Traveling down the highway, you come across a sign that alerts you to an upcoming detour. And especially nowadays when we have road construction going on. That's our fifth season here in Minnesota. But the detour is necessary because perhaps there's a bridge that is being torn down and repaired and replaced over the river ahead. And if you ignore the warning sign, you continue traveling down that road toward the bridge that is being repaired or is not even there any longer, you're going to have trouble. And so there are detours along the way in the life of the Christian. And the first one is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And the blessed individual is one who does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly man. The ungodly are always ready to give advice. And that advice may be in the form of literature, may be in the form of advertising, entertainment, takes many different forms. And the danger begins when the child of God begins to listen to that and to consider that ungodly counsel. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 says this, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Proverbs 1 and verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." So we must not listen to the counsel of the ungodly individual. We must not also stand or linger with the sinful man. You listen, you consider, then you begin to adopt the standards of the ungodly. And these are dangers that we must face and avoid. "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 13 and verse 20. And so it's important who you befriend. And we need to, more than ever in our world today, gather around God's people who want to help us grow and move forward in our spiritual walk with the Lord. We don't linger with the sinful man. Now, that does not mean that we isolate from them. We need to make contact with them with the gospel, right? We need to develop a relationship in that way with them. But we are not going to stand in the way that they are going. We're not going to approve the sinfulness in their life. We're not to walk with them. Sitting in the seat of the scornful, we don't laugh at the scornful man. So here's the progression. First you listen. Then you adopt their standards. Then you make fun of God's standards. Fools, Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools make a mock at sin." Boy, isn't that prevalent in our world today? fools mocking at sin. The seat of the scornful may be lofty, but it's near the gate of hell, as someone has said. Let others make a mock at sin and eternity and heaven and hell and the eternal God, but the man who is blessed by God, the man who lives in the light of the presence of God in his or her life will not listen to ungodly counsel, will not walk with ungodly companions, will not sit with the scornful and adopt their sinful attitudes and their opinions. You see, the road of the scornful is always a downward road. And you and I need to be on the upward road of the righteous. And so the man or the woman who is blessed by God, separated from ungodly counsel, separated from ungodly companions and ungodly conduct in the life. And so God's prescription for blessing in your life and mine includes a watchfulness concerning these dangers. And so that's why the psalmist here is writing concerning that. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. There's another essential ingredient. God's prescription for blessing. And that is the delight of God's blessing. The individual who is blessed by God is satisfied with the word. And we find that in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. This man is not under the law as a curse and a condemnation. But he's in the law of the Lord to read it, to think upon it, to meditate upon it, and to delight in it. It captures his affection, his full affection. He takes a text from God's word, carries it with him during the day, and in the night watches when sleep forsakes his eyelids. He muses, he meditates upon the word of God. And that's a good discipline for us to have. When you're not able to sleep at night, how many have that happened? You're not able to sleep at night. Meditate upon God's word. It's a good time to do that and also to pray. In the day of his prosperity, this individual sings psalms out of the word of God. And in the night of his afflictions, he comforts himself with the promises out of that same book. To some, God's word may be boring. But to this individual, it is blessed. It not only claims his full affection, but it claims his full attention. In his law does he meditate day and night. It's delightful to him. To some, it's a fantasy. It's not relevant to them. But to this individual, it's his necessary food. In fact, I think one of the prophets said, I consider your word more necessary than my food. And think about that for a moment. How much we enjoy sitting down to a meal and taking in that nourishment, the physical nourishment that our body needs. This psalmist is saying here, my delight is in the law of the Lord. And I'm going to take that in day and night in my life. It's not only just information, but it's inspiration of how to live my life to please the Lord and bring glory to his name. It's sad when many Christians don't make God's word their daily delight. I want you to notice something with Psalm 119, a psalm which in almost every verse is a reference to God's word. Psalm 119, verses 47 and 77. Notice what he says. I delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's verse 16. Verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And then verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come upon me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. And I think you can get the tenor of his love for the word of God, especially in Psalm 119. He says, this is my daily delight. It's claimed my full affection and my full attention. I wonder if that could be said of us. We take God's word that way. We have that kind of perspective on this book. It's a great book for us to look at, to read, to study, to meditate upon, and to obey. There's a third ingredient, and that is the destiny of God's blessing. And you notice that in verse 3, he gives this picture here of a tree planted by the rivers of water. We're situated by the waters. It's a beautiful illustration. A tree planted by the rivers of water. Water for cleansing. That represents the word of God there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 26. He says, Paul is writing, he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So we have water for cleansing. Picture this tree reaching down its roots into the life-giving stream, finding all that it needs in order to be fruitful and effective. And God's word brings stability. God's word brings fertility. God's word brings vitality and prosperity into the life as we drink it in, as we allow it to bring forth that kind of produce and production in our life. God's word enables us to stand against the winds of doctrine. And let me say this, that there are many winds of doctrine that are being taught out in our world today. And we need to be able to stand against it. It enables us to bring forth fruit that's pleasant and keeps a vital, vibrant testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. This water for drinking, it will enable us to be prosperous in whatever we do. Turn back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. He says this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, he's not talking about physical thirst here. He's talking about a spiritual thirst. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And that, of course, takes us forward to the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was given. And so this water for drinking, it represents the Spirit of God and how we can find that our thirst is satisfied through the Word of God. Notice the difference between the blessed man and the ungodly man. And there are seven things that mark the life of the man who is situated by the river. His prominence is like a tree planted. His permanence, again, it's planted, roots deep, and drinking in the life-giving water for that tree to grow and to prosper. His position, he's by the rivers of water. Number four, his productivity. He brings forth his fruit, his propriety in his season, in the right time that God has provided for that tree to bring forth fruit. His perpetuity, his leaf shall not wither. There's going to be a continuance of prosperity in his life. And that's the last point, because whatsoever he does shall prosper. And so you see those seven things that are involved in a tree planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are not so. And God's word does enable us to stand against false doctrine. And so here's the difference between the blessed man and the ungodly man. The ungodly are not blessed. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now, if you're familiar with the harvest time in the ancient world, they would bring the sheaves of grain to a threshing floor. And in order to separate the chaff from the kernels of grain that were useful, they would throw the the harvest into the air. And the chaff, lighter than the grains of wheat, would be blown away by the wind. The heavy grains of wheat would fall to the ground. And so he is picturing here the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Turn with me to Psalm 35 and verse 5. The psalmist says, let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. So we see here that there's the instability of the unsaved individual. The ungodly are not planted by the rivers of water, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, in the light of that, let's go back here. The ungodly are like the chaff. They're blown with the wind. They're unstable. They're without substance. They shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly will not be in heaven. Because only those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are going to be in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. And so the ungodly are not going to be in heaven. And the only way to make sure of a home in heaven is to know Christ as your personal Savior. So this is the prescription that God gives for blessing. And it's a great prescription. It's a very simple one. It is short and concise. But boy, is it expanded throughout the Word of God, as we see the blessings of God upon your life as you serve Him, as you love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, as you obey Him in all the aspects of His Word in your life. Avoid the dangers to God's blessing. In other words, be separated from the world. Appreciate the delight that God's blessing brings into your life through His Word. And that's something that we can do daily. And then apprehend the destiny of God's blessing that brings stability and fertility and vitality and prosperity to your life. Those are the ingredients that God gives to us for His blessing in our life. And there's the verses there in Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. A little bit small, but that's the essence of what God is wanting to tell us tonight. That He has a prescription for us, for His blessing. Now, when you have a doctor's prescription for medication that he wants you to take, where do you go to get that prescription filled? You go to the pharmacy, right? Well, God wants us to go to His book to find His prescription for blessing in our life. There's no other book like this in the world. There will never be another book like it. And I'm thankful that God gave to us His completed revelation for us to read and to study and to love and to take in and to have us give to it our full affection and our full attention, because He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for giving to us Your precious Word. You communicated with us in who You are and who we are. We thank You, Father, that in that communication, it involved the remedy for our sin. And that remedy came through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, there on the cross, in our place for our sin. And by believing in Him and by trusting in Him and turning from our sin to the only one who could save us, we can have the assurance of everlasting life and our sins forgiven. And we can look forward to the blessing that You have for us in this life as we look to Your Word, as we submit to Your leadership in our life as well. And so, Lord, I pray that You would guide us daily, help us to honor Your Word and obey it in our life, that we would see Your blessing upon us. And we'll thank You for all of this In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Steve is not going to be here to lead us in a song, but I'm going to pick one out here very quickly. Did he have one picked out? Oh, there he is. Will you come and lead us, Steve?